Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Good morning to each one of you. I see a lot of familiar faces, some faces from home, and some faces from Somerset West, and also some faces from Stellenbosch. And before I continue, I would just like to welcome the new visitors. And it's a lady that brought a little son this morning, which is so cute to see. How excited he was to come and just experience worship this morning. So my name is Eugene Dolman, and I am from Somerset West Church. And I would just like to thank Pastor Sias and also Pastor Heinrich for giving me an opportunity to share the word this 1st of January. It's really a privilege to be here. This morning, I'm still on a bit of holiday. We came through from Hermanus this morning, and we're having a lot of fun in Hermanus. If any of you haven't had some crayfish this year, just make sure that you get to know some people that knows the water, like the Johannes van der Sluises and the Dani Morkels who know where to catch the crayfish. But before I continue, whilst we were praying this morning for church, we just felt that, I just had this picture that there are some of us that are like a crayfish that is hidden in like a dark little place. And this morning I really believe that Jesus is here and he wants us to come out of that place so that we can experience his light and who he is. Because it's just so special when we come to that place where he is our everything. So, before I continue, let me just pray for us. We'll also find my notes here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can just come to you this morning, Lord, and that we can, that we can bring this year before you, and that we can glorify your name, and that we can say that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this morning, Lord, we surrender to you, Lord. Every fleshly purpose and desire, Lord, we lay down. Every distraction that is speaking to our minds, we lay down. And we come to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy New Year. Aren't you excited to be in church on Sunday, the 1st of January 2017? Like that U2 song says, all is quiet on New Year's Day or New Year's morning. It was just the roads were just so quiet when we drove through this morning. It was just phenomenal. So we're really looking forward to 2017. But if we can just have one last glimpse of 2016, and if each one of you can ask yourself, what defined 2016 for you? What was the thing that defined 2016? And then the following question would be, what is the focus of 2017? And this morning, I'm going to share a bit of what has happened in my life in 2016. And then I will share a message for 2017. But I really believe that God is doing something great. And we can really be expectant to just experience His Father's love. And it was just so amazing just to see the words that everyone brought forward after worship or during worship. And we can really be excited for what is lying ahead. So I'm going to... I preached a message in Somerset West about 3 months ago or 2 months ago. But I only had 15 or 17 minutes to preach the message because we had quite a big service with a lot of activities. So I'm going to try and pan out a little bit on that service. But you guys don't have to worry. You don't have to know what has happened in that service for you to connect to what I'm saying. So 2016, what was the things that defined 2016? Was it things that was world events? Was it things that happened in your family? Was it a pain? What was it that defined 2016 for you? Now, 2016 was quite a defining year for me, because I decided to lay everything down and to follow Jesus. I had a career at a company for about 13 years. It was my only job that I ever had. After university, I started at this company in the fiberglass industry. But it all started for me, actually, also 13 years ago when I came to know Jesus Christ. Now, there was a lot of things that defined me as a person. When I was still a youngster, the first thing that defined me was that I loved the ocean and that I surfed. That was the first thing that I wanted people to know about me. And I never really surfed because I enjoyed it in the beginning. I surfed because it's not surfing, because I wanted people to know that I surf. And that was the only thing that motivated me. And then later, it actually just became to be in with a crowd. And there were so many things and so many pressure groups that just put pressure on to be in the crowd that is seen. And bless my parents, they really tried their best to get me in church every single Sunday. At some stages, it was still under the influence of the previous evening that I was sitting in church. And then my life just started to fall apart. And I ran away from a relationship in 2003. And I went to the States to go and work on a ski resort. And then when I came back, one of my best friends invited me to a shofar service. And I always knew about shofar because I studied here, but 2 hours of church was too much. If it's 1 hour, that's like the limit. So today we'll see if we can do 3 or 4 hours. What do you say? Tosca just made sure that she gave me the time cards, and she will keep me accountable to the time. And she also instructed me that this is the boundaries, like, because for the camera person it's difficult because we don't have one today. So if I'm standing in over here, then yeah, it's fine. So the boundaries, what were the boundaries that defined who I was? And it was group pressure. It was all sorts of things that pressured me to find an identity. And then on the 18th of May 2003, I visited church. And for the first time in my whole life, I experienced God's presence. At that time, I didn't know what it was, but I saw people. We were still back in the Deaf Milan Center, and that whole place was packed out. And that evening, I gave my life to Christ. And there's many people that's even here today that can testify of who Eugene was and who Eugene is. My nickname at school was Dolis, because my surname is Dolman, and my Standard 4 teacher, now you can see Standard 4, how old I am, he gave me that nickname, and that sort of stuck. But when I came to salvation, I actually lost that nickname. And when we went on mission a couple of weeks ago, I had to give my password of something to one of the people on the team, and the password is Dolis1. So I told them that was my nickname at school. So they started calling me Dolis. So I told them, please don't call me Dolis, because you don't want that one to come out. He died 18 May 2003. But so on that day, my life was radically transformed, and I started, just a month before that, I started to work at a company, and everything was about work and everything was about God. I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was driving in a lift club, and the Holy Spirit's presence would just be within me the whole time. I was just so filled with the Holy Spirit that I would drive with these people and I would tell them, and they were not believers, I would tell them that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was just the most awesome, most amazing experience that I could never, ever have before that. Because everything else that I ever tried, every drug, every alcohol, every other thing, it could never, ever compare to the presence of God and how He comes to renew us. So I'm also honored to have some of my good friends here this morning. I'm so grateful that God really put amazing friends around me when I came to salvation. Most of my first cell group, or many of my first cell group, is here this morning. And isn't it special just to see how relationships can be maintained through Christ over a 13-year period? And today, they still my best friends, and when there's tough times, I know who to call. And I just want to thank you for coming, and my parents also, and Talita and the boys, thank you for coming. I really feel honored and privileged to have each one of you, Jelis Eisters. And I do know that many of you saw who I was and who I've become. And it's all because of the cross. It's all because of Jesus. Now, if we look at Scripture, and if we read in Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17, when He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It just reminds me of one of my friends, a story that he tells, that there was this girl, and she was not very neat. Her mother really complained because everything in her room was just a mess all the time. And she didn't help much at home either. And then one day, her mother came back from work, and she saw that everything is clean. The lounge, her room, the kitchen, everything is like in tip-top order. And she went to her and she asked, "What happened?" So she said, "Johnny is coming to visit." So this morning, I want to tell you that you are His beloved. You are God's beloved. And isn't it amazing, after Jesus was confirmed as God's beloved, he went into the field for 40 days to fast and to really seek God's face. And when we read here in Matthew 4 verse 4, after 40 days of fasting, but he answered, and this is when the enemy came to tempt him. After 40 days, there's somebody over here that knows how hungry one is after 40 days. But can you imagine being without food for 40 days, just seeking God? And just before that, Jesus was confirmed as God's beloved. And after 40 days, he says to the enemy, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Before Jesus was tempted, he was confirmed by Father God as his beloved. Jesus' identity was 100% in Father God. When we read in John 5, verse 19 to 20, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So the Father love and trust the Son 100%, and the Son trust and love the Father 100%. Now, when I was working at the company, I can tell you many, many stories, but my main aim for working at one specific company for such a long period was to see that the owners and the staff comes to know Jesus Christ. And I can tell you many stories of amazing encounters, but this sort of became the only thing that I was obsessed about, and I was really taking a lot of shots and just going through a lot of turmoil and hard time in this journey. And earlier this year, sorry, last year, can't be earlier this year. It must have been like 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. So earlier last year, my wife just experienced that I'm standing in the way of salvation of the people at my workplace. And I also experienced that God is bringing me into a new season. So at the end of August, God clearly started to speak to me about the new season that is about to birth. And there was one specific time that I was really going through the motions, and I was driving back one day from work, and my superior phoned me and asked me if I did X, Y, and Z. And I told him, yes, I did this, that, and the other. And still he asked, but did you really do it? Did you really do it? And long story short, when I hang the phone up, then I just asked God, how is it possible that after so many years that this person doesn't trust me? Surely I have proved myself over this past while that I do what I'm supposed to do. And so I went to God and I started to complain, and I said, Lord, why is it that he doesn't trust me? And the next moment the Lord says, the same way that he doesn't trust you, you don't trust me. And it was quite a hard pull to swallow, because I thought that I was doing all the right things, and I was doing the things that I was supposed to. But when I heard that, it was the beginning of a trust relationship that I started walking. I can tell you many testimonies of miracles that has happened where fiberglass was turned into fiberglass waste was turned into a product that we sold all over the world, and pressure times where machines would break and we would literally, I'm not a technical person, so I choose the praying part, would pray through the night that we would just make the following morning because the factory worked 24/7, 7 days a week. But in any case, so then the Lord started to speak to me about the new season, and I remember the morning after I resigned from my workplace without having another job or any other offer. And I know some of us think that is quite crazy, but the Lord is my provision. The Lord is our provision. The Lord is our provision for my family and for our church. He is our provision. And the following morning, he started to speak to me about reconciliation. He started to speak to say that he is reconciliation, and that we are here to build bridges between where the world is and where he is. And also in our communities, we're supposed to build bridges. And then the following morning, there were two things that he spoke to me about, and we're going to pan out a little bit on that. But the thing that he started to speak to me about, to really make it practical for me, is he started to speak in terms of our employer-employee relationships. Now, if you are an employee at any company, this is universal, there's two things that you want. Only two things. Only two things that would keep you going. And obviously, it's God that keeps you going, but listen to what I have to say. The first thing is that you want to know that you are loved, that you are cared for, that you are trusted. And the second thing that we want to know is that there is a plan and that we are part of that plan. And that very much relates to our relationship with God. Because when we know that we are loved, that He loves us, and that He cares for us, it changes our perception. It changes everything in us. That day when we meet Him is the day that we find true love and perfect love. Like no other companion we can ever have is Jesus Christ. And once we found that trust, once we found that love, the rest follows. The plan and whatever it is that He has called us to do. But when we find out that we are His beloved, then the rest starts to fall in place. And isn't it amazing to see that the first words that Father God said over Jesus was that He is His beloved. Before He did anything, but He was Father God's beloved. Now, if we look at our identity in Christ, if we look at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't it so true that is what happens when we come to Christ? That all things have passed and we are new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, in this relationship, this is a very important part. Because that is the beginning of our relationship with God. If I can explain it from your workplace point of view, the reason why you started to work at that workplace, if that is still valid and in place, you will continue with that relationship. The same with our salvation. Once we come to salvation and we are constantly reminded, like what was shared earlier in, during worship, that we need to remind ourselves constantly of our salvation and who Christ is and what He has come to do for us. Because so many times the world comes and the world and people around us starts to identify, or we take the identity that they give us. And it's so easy to take the identity of what other people say. Even the identity that we sometimes place over ourselves. But Jesus says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What are the things that defines your identity? What are the things that we allow to form our identity, which is outside of the identity that Christ has for us? Is it external factors? Even today, in today's world, I've recently reconnected to Facebook. And it sucks you in. How many of us, after we've posted something, looks at the likes or the comments that was received after a Facebook posting? Is that what we look at for our identification? Or is it just the technology that we have around us, that we sort of get lost in that place of just being, and I'm speaking very much to myself now, is it that place where we just hide behind a computer or a laptop or a pad or whatever it is that we seek to get our identity from? Because these things do impact us. What are the things that we allow to identify who we are? Is it the relationships that we are in that identifies us? Is it that one person that we would want to be with? Is it our income? Is it the possession that we've accumulated? Is it our achievements that identifies us? Is it our children? Is it our grandchildren that defines us? Is it our internal brokenness? Is it sickness? There's a lady that I know that is going through a real traumatic time with sickness. And we are a group of friends that pray continuously for her. And there's even somebody that I once went to pray for that was very, very sick. And the circumstances around the sickness was just so intense because the relationship that she was in was not a very conductive relationship, because she was in a very abusive relationship. And she was almost on a deathbed 3 times. And by the 3rd time, she lives in another city. I decided, well, I'm sick and tired of this sickness that keeps on just bringing it down. So, and I didn't know about this relationship that she was in. And so I went to the hospital, and miraculously she was discharged the day when I arrived, and I could share the gospel with her in the comfort of her home. And the challenge was that this sickness defined her. The sickness defined who she was. It was so crazy that she did not want to let the sickness go. And the reason why she didn't want the sickness to go was every time that she is sick, the abuse stops. The abusive relationship stopped every time that she was very sick, because everybody came around her and they just loved, and they just loved. Is it our sickness that defines us? Is it the relationships that we are in? Or can we allow Christ to come and define us? Is it our sport that defines us? I'm treading on thin ice here. Is it our external sport and things that we do that defines us? Is it like what I used to be, in the cool crowd, or to be seen, to be this or to be that? Or do we allow Christ to define us? I recently returned from an outreach to India, where we went to visit a church in Bhutan, and it was just the most amazing experience. It was just a mission to share, you know, just the Father's love. And we did Encounter 3. I don't know how many of you have done Encounter 3, but if you haven't done Encounter 3, please go and do Encounter 3. It's really, really life-changing. So we went to this church from the 11th or the 13th of December until the 18th. And it was quite amazing just to hear the testimony of how this church started. It was really, really profound. Now, Bhutan is, by today's stats, almost 100% Buddhist country. And it's in the northwestern parts of India. It's a country. It's a very small country. They've got about 2 million people. And it's a very mountainous area. And there's a lot of Buddhist priests and just Buddhist areas in that country. And the lady that started the church was on her sick bed. And she was a Buddhist. She didn't know Jesus. And she could never, ever experience just freedom. Never, ever. And she grew up as a very sick young lady. And she was on a deathbed at one stage. And then she called out to God, the God that she didn't know. And she said, if you are the only God, then you must heal me. And miraculously, that evening, she was supernaturally healed. And she met with Jesus. No external influence, nobody from the outside. She met Jesus by herself, personally, on a deathbed. And the day when she was healed, she said that she will devote her life to follow Christ. And I was so amazed that was about 25 years ago. And she's since built three churches in Bhutan. And she's raised up many leaders that is currently doing full-time pastoral and missionary work in Bhutan and also in India. But the thing that stood out when we were there and she shared a testimony. Yes, the spot where she met Jesus was really spectacular. But what stood out was that when we worshiped together, it was the same spirit. It was Jesus that was in that room. It was in Him that we could find our identity. It was only in Him. So she was telling the story that while she was following Christ and sharing the gospel, she was at some stage, the children thought she was a madman because she could not do anything but talk about Jesus. Whoever she met, whoever she came across, she shared the gospel. It was just like, that's what she does. The church's name is Prayer and Revival Church of Bhutan. And that is exactly what they do. They do prayer. And she was telling the story that at one stage, they were heavily persecuted. Like, they would come out and they would just come against them. And at one stage, the police came to arrest her. And this is such a crazy story. So when they got to a place, she said, you can take me, only if my father allows, you can take me. So they would turn around and they would just go off. Because she knew her identity in Christ. She knew her identity in Father God. That she can only be taken if He allows. And it was just so amazing to see the faith of that woman to know her identity in Father God. So she's been in prison a couple of times. The most heartbreaking story that I heard was when they shared that they've built the first church in Bhutan. And when this church was completed, only then the government came and the government just demolished the whole place. And many people would ask, why? Why would God allow that? Tough question to ask. But I believe the answer to that question lies in our identity in Christ. The book of James really starts radical. That we need to be joyous in our suffering. And if we look at if we look at Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. God's everlasting love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, nothing. And this morning, I don't know what the trial was that you went through. And I don't know the victory that you have seen. But what I do know is that every tough area, every area where we are persecuted, where we're going through tribulations, are exactly the things that the Lord wants to use as a testimony to glorify his name. I can tell you many stories of particular tough times that I've endured. But it's only because of his love that we can continue. And this morning, I want to bring that message of be anchored in his love. Don't be moved from the place of being in love with him, in that place of seeking him. Like Volpre shared earlier, that he is our hope. Don't move from that place, even if the circumstances around us dictate something else. Don't be moved from your identity in Christ Jesus, because he loves you and he cares for you. And whatever the attack is, whatever the tribulation is, remember that God loves you and that he is with you, even in those times. And as we read in Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith that you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. When we remember our salvation, when we remember our first love, surely that is what propels us to run and pursue him. He loves each one of us dearly. Each one of you that has come here on this first day of 2017, he loves each one of us. He loves this body. He loves his church. And my prayer for us this year is that we will walk in Christ. So many times we say that we're living a life for God. But this year, I really believe that we're going to live a year from God. There's a slight difference between living for God and living from God. The one is very much focused on the works. But when we live from God, then we know where our identity is. We know that we are hidden in Christ. We know that He is the King of Kings. And then when we live from God, the same like Jesus lived from Father God, He only did what He saw His Father did. Then we do. So this year, I really pray that we will walk in the rest of Christ. Hebrews 4, 9-11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, which was in the Old Testament. The thing that has been standing out for me over the last 3 to 4 months whilst I was taking, if you want to call it a sabbatical, was just how busy people are. Just the busyness. I've even come across somebody that was bragging about how busy the person is. And I was just thinking by myself, isn't it crazy that we have become just so busy? And I really hope that 2017 will be a year, first of all, of identity in Christ, but the focus. That we will lay down all the unnecessary things that is draining us, but that we will focus on His kingdom first. That we will come to Christ, and that He will nourish us. That we will live from Christ. That we will enter that place of rest. I was walking the other day in the nature reserve with a close friend of mine that I'm walking a road with. He's really scared of church and slowly but surely starting to walk a road with Christ. And he's got his own business. And when we were walking, we were talking about all the things that needed to be done, all the cares and all the worries and all the things that the world was challenging us with. And then all of a sudden, I just felt we need to stop. And as we stopped, we could just perceive the beauty of this creation. We could perceive the beauty of the flowers. We could perceive the beauty of everything that was around us. And once we come to that place of rest in Him, I really believe that we can enter into a place of focus. Enter into a place of following Christ. Enter into a place where we don't pursue dead works, but where we pursue only Christ. Because He says in Scripture that His burden and His yoke is light. And I know some of us have had tough 2016s. But I know that God wants us to walk in the Spirit through His guidance of the Holy Spirit, from a place of rest, from a place of just experiencing who He is. And if you have holiday left or time left that you're not working, then I would really like to encourage you to spend time with God. Take that time out. It was just as I was preparing for this sermon, it was really a special time because I could separate myself to really hear what is on God's heart. Normally when it is this time of the year, it's just family activity and a lot of things that needs to happen. But I want to lay it before you. Take time out. Go and take a walk in nature. Go and take a walk by yourself. Go and just listen to what God has on His heart, what He says. Because He's speaking all the time. We sometimes not tuned into His frequency. And let's walk in that place of His rest. Matthew 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now these things He was referring to was food and clothes and all those types of things. But I want to pause at, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He doesn't read, and all these things shall be added to you when you first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let 2017 be the year that we focus and pursue His kingdom. Let's take time out this year to spend with Him, to rekindle our love and experience that place where He says, you are His beloved. It doesn't matter what your boss says about you, your husband, and your family. Listen to what God says about you. First seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Before we end off, I just want to just make sure that I was, for a long time, I was attacked by fear. I don't know what it is that consumes each one of us. But do not find your identity in the fear that is around you. Because Christ is the only one that can set us free. Whilst I was going through just fearful experiences, it was only when I became quiet and when I allowed Christ to fight the battle that I could come to that place of freedom. Because He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And this year, May each one of us, whatever that giant is that you are facing, whatever it is that we are about to do, that we will look at Christ for our identity. Not at the world and what that can offer. Because all of that is very short term. All of that is not everlasting. And as we're going to worship one last song together, I would like to, if we can just all close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us, that we are your beloved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can find our identity based on who you say we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you say in Scripture, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the good father. And Lord, that even as this year is lying before us, Lord, that we can find our identity only in you. That the external factors will be quiet as we walk on this journey. That you will come and that you will encourage us to run with the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are in this place. And as everyone is standing, if you all can stand with me.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.